Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to continue in our short series of studies on The Lord is My Strength. And we have used this theme verse, Psalm 28 and 7, as it is really an outline. We read in here, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth. With my song will I praise him." And we have said on the last broadcast that this is the child of God's resource, is his strength and his shield. Now the child of God's experience is seen, "My heart trusted in him, and I am helped." That's the very essence of Christian experience and the experience of the child of God in any age. Trusting in God and being helped. How could it be otherwise? And then following this, we will consider, "Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth," the child of God's exaltation and praise, "and with my song will I praise him," which is indeed the child of God's testimony. David sung a lot, and David was a man of testimony. He composed so many of the Psalms. Now today, on the lesson that we have chosen, the title that we have chosen, is the child of God's experience. He really is trusting in the Lord. And let's read it again. And just notice, please, as I read the 28th Psalm, verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth. And with my song will I praise him." Now, the development of these different titles are not seen in this psalm. This psalm, this verse, rather, in the 28th psalm, is just really an outline. But it's a precious outline, and we can really gain experience by it. Let's talk about the child of God's experience. Now, the psalmist says, "My heart trusted in him." Not in riches. We read in Proverbs 11 and 28 there, "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous man shall flourish as a branch." Oh, how materialistically we are in our thoughts of life. How material we have become. We count on our money in the bank. We count on our stocks. We count on our CDs. We count on this and that and the other, and we do not fail to, or we rather do fail, to realize that true security is found only in the Lord. That's the child of God's experience. "My heart trusted in him, not in riches." We dare not trust in riches. Riches do not bring security. We talk about the rich man's experience as recorded in the 12th chapter of Luke. And I don't think we could do better than to refer to that portion of Scripture right now. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, if you please. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." Now the Lord is speaking the parable. "He thought within himself, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build a greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night shall thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" His security was in his riches. God says, he says many years. He said many years. Much good laid up for many years. No, that was his philosophy. Many years. God's announcement? Tonight. Tonight. Oh, riches do not bring security, but trust in the Lord does bring security. This man made four very common mistakes. He left God out of his plans. There's nothing said about asking God how to take care of this crop surplus. Not a thing is said about it. He left them out. His wills, or his I wills, were not enough. And then the second mistake he made, which is a very common one, he supposed that earthly goods should satisfy the soul, and they do not satisfy the soul. God's things satisfy the soul. And then thirdly, he made another mistake, which is a common mistake. He lived a selfish life. My goods, my barns, my soul. The happy life lived for others. He didn't know how to get happiness. Everything was selfish. The way to have joy, as it has been told out in the little acrostic, Jesus, others, and you. That's the way to spell joy. He was selfish. He thought he had many years left. Isn't that the common experience of men today? Oh, I'll get around trusting the Lord when I get around to it. And they do not realize that time is running out. He said many years, God said, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be? Oh, there's no security in material blessings or material possessions. Now, and it does not lie in our wisdom either. We read in Proverbs, for instance, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 there. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now that's trusting in your own wisdom. We have the man, we criticize the man for trusting in his riches. How about us? Do we trust in our own wisdom? Do we think that we have the answers? When we read a verse like this, two verses rather, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You recall that on our last broadcast, we read James 1 and 5, and we read there, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We have it. We can have wisdom from God for the asking. Christ has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He's our wisdom. So we see that we can indeed make a mistake in trusting in our own wisdom. Now, we dare not trust in our fellow man. We read in Jeremiah 17 and 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. Just two verses below this, we get the correct answer. Blessed is he that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. So you see, we cannot look to man for our blessings. My heart trusted in him, the psalmist says, and I am helped. That help is so positive. It comes, and that's the essence of our experience. We trust in the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, there is a verse there in the 7th chapter of the first book of Samuel. The children of Israel are gathered together. They're in a terrible straits. The Philistines have congregated. They've gathered their armies together, and they are frightened, really frightened. And they come to Samuel, and they ask Samuel, pray for us. Pray for us. Well, Samuel does pray, and he offers a suckling lamb on that occasion. And, you know, the Lord came in and defeated those Philistines. He gave great thunders. He just confitted the whole Philistine army, and Israel won the battle. And then we read in the verse in that chapter that tells us of what he really had in mind is this. When he speaks about, hitherto hath the Lord helped us, and he raised up a monument and says, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And you know, you and I are helped when we trust in the Lord Samuel took a stone, this is the way it's put in the scripture, and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Now this is help in the time past. Now let's talk about help in the present. Help in the present, we read it in Psalm 46 and 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Present help. He helps us in the past, and we can raise our Ebenezer stones. I think each one of us can do that. But he's a very present help right now. And that help is a cure for fear. We read in Hebrews 13 and 6, that so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." We've got the help of the Lord for the asking. Just asking for his help. That indeed cures the fear. Now, this also extends to the future. We can look to the future and help for the Lord. We read in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, which we read in our yesterday's broadcast, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And then down farther, "For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Now that's a promise. "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee." How could you want more security than this, really, to talk about help in the future? God says, "I will help you." And then there's that lovely portion. In the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, at verse 14, we read there, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Here is our help in the future, coming to Christ as our great high priest. "Let us therefore come boldly." Faith believing, boldly, the faith that the boldness that faith begets. "Let us come therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The child of God's essence of his experience, oh, here it is. "My heart trusted in him, and I am helped." We thank you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for Psalm 28, verse 7, and the voice of David as he speaks out of his own experience. We thank you, Father, that we can have these experiences too. In Christ's name, amen.